And you that are here made it through the snow. Amen. You made it. All right. I feel like we're parting the Red Sea or something here. It's like everybody's right there. It's all good. It's all good. Well, it's good to see each one of you here today. And you know, when your church has grown, when you can't remember everybody, all the new faces and the people that are coming. So that is a blessing in itself. So, and we're just praying about that. I just want to say a plug real quick. And it may not look like it today, but our church is growing. We talked about that in the last 2 weeks. And there was one thing that just really kept hitting me over and over and over. And it's not about the numbers, really, in the sense of just numbers, but each number represents a person. And that means that you're able to help, and those a number is able to help. Or be helped, or whatever it may be. And when I was talking about the church being to grow, I mentioned it in a conversation with someone. That I really thought about that 1%. What was that 1%? Just 1% here in Huntington would be 170 people. I don't know if I said that here in service or not. Did I say that? Anyway, that is just really like, it's almost like just. Just pray about that, whatever it may be. We make a dent in this community. And I know a lot of us don't live here in Huntington, but we're representing Huntington. And so we're just going to pray about that. And if there's some other great, good churches out there, and if we can get to that 20% mark across the city, 20% would be great. I mean, we'd like to be more, but... Anyway, just continue to pray about that and the other six things that we talked about in the Vision Day and throughout the year. So I challenge you to continue to pray about those things that was on our list. But today, now we're moving forward into the movement of the church. We're moving into the year now. We've done our prayer and we've done our fasting. We've talked about the past. We talked about the future. Now we got to do our day-to-day. And what we got to do is we got to work through some things. And we need to make sure our hearts are right with the Lord. We continue to be open as a spiritual hospital here, a place of worship for the sinner and the saint. And that we continue to worship the Lord who is God Almighty. Amen. If you have your Bibles, we're going to be in Matthew chapter 11 today. I'll be in Holman this morning, Holman version. And so if you use your phone, sometimes people like to know what version it is so they can click it on there. At least follow, but if you have a different version, that's okay too. I want to talk to you about ever since the beginning of time, God has instructed people to do life His way. There is a way. There is a way. And all the way back from the garden, there was a way. You can do these things, this is what you're to do, but you don't go over there. You don't eat of that tree. But God has a way of showing us how to live life. But man messes up. Man messes up. We've been messing up ever since the garden. And so many people today, we have problems still today. But a lot of people don't want to fix those problems. They don't want to work through them. And they choose to live in sin and wonder, why is all this stuff happening to me? Why am I having a bad time in life? Why am I got all this stuff? And sometimes, you know, it's just that we choose to live differently than what the Lord has us to do. And I believe that God doesn't want us to hurt. Jesus doesn't want us to hurt. But when we do, He has a way of helping us through those things. I think He wants to help us through those things. God offers a way. But you got to do it His way. You have to do it His way. In Matthew chapter 11, it is a very common verse that many of us use in verse 28. I want to share that with you this morning. Come unto me, all of you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take up my yoke and learn from me, because I am lowly and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. I want to share with you that even in the Old Testament, and we'll get there, God has a way of helping people, giving them opportunity for hope. Right now, we live in a world where we have to live by faith. That's what it is. If today God would unzip it, give us eyes to see what's in front of us in the spiritual world, it It'd be too much for us. It would be just too much. God doesn't want us to see all the things in the spiritual world right now. But there are people seeking all that stuff. Some people do it in dark magic. People do it in dark secret. They've tried to go into those places. It's not what we're supposed to be. Now, when God wants to reveal things to us in certain ways, He can do that, but He gives us a mini piece of what's really out there. And why does He do that? Because it's about faith. It's about faith. Faith is believing even though you don't see it. It's the hope, the assurance of things to come, but you don't see it yet here. So we live in a world where our faith has to exist. Everyone has a faith. It's just, what is your faith in? Everybody has a belief system. What is your belief system in? And some people living in the world, that they just believe in themselves. You know, today, right now, there are people that are built. They've been doing this for the last 15 years, way back even further, because they had that scare crisis there when the Cuba was going to throw, they feared the missiles, but people build bunkers in their own property. And there are people that have, you know, even in the Y2K, they started to fill up their basements. We begin, our flesh begins to take over, and we begin to feel, and people are buying all kinds of ammo and all kinds. Listen, when the end times come, what you got ain't going to matter. It's who you got. It's not about what you got. Defending your home, defending yourself, I get it, yeah. It's about who you got. It's about who you have. It's about who you believe in. And sometimes those days, those times are going to be a testing moment for you and for me. But Jesus has this peace He throws out in the midst of the people. He says, come to me. That's what He says. He offers hope. He offers hope. That's the first step. He offers hope. He offers hope. To who? What does it say? He offers hope to all those who are weary, who are broken, who are burdened, who's got problems. He says, what He's saying, He says, there is a different way, and I am the different way. He said, Jesus has come to me, all of you. So it's for everyone. So all of you that are hurt and broken, hurting in some way, going through problems, listen, He's going, is the door for that relationship to begin so that they can come to Him. He hits them right where people, their spot is. It's the hurting and all the problems that they have. That's what takes most of your time. That's what stresses you out, and anxiety. It's all the problems that you have. And Jesus says, come to me. All who are weary and burdened. All the people that are broken. But He says, I will give you rest. I'll give you rest. Didn't say He'd take it all away at that moment, but He said, I'll give you rest. I'll give you a breathing moment. I'm going to help you through this. That's what He says to everyone who is willing to come to Him. And the promise is rest. In 1 Peter chapter 5, I believe it's in verse 7, it says, cast all your anxiety before Him because He cares for you. If you get anything out of this morning, I want you to know this. Jesus cares for you. Jesus is and cares for you. But He knows the way through all the stuff that we're going through. But some of us are just stubborn. Some of us have got some hooks into some sin we can't get rid of. We can't come to Him. We come partially, but we can't get it all together because we're still hooking into some of those things and we're not willing to let it go. We're not willing to let it go. He says, take up my yoke. That yoke is to balance it out. To balance the weight of all the things that are going on. So He says, it's offered to everyone that hears it. Take up my yoke. To balance those burdens. And all the weight that you have. didn't say take it all away, because life has a lot of problems. Some problems we create. And some problems we don't create. And they happen because it's part of life. We have problems. Life is hard. Life is hard. And sometimes it's harder for you this year than it was last year. Some of you had a hard year last year. Some you're not sure what it is with this year. But I guarantee you, with Jesus, it makes it a whole lot easier. Amen? Try and do it by yourself. Find out how far you go when you do it by yourself. It doesn't work. It does not work. And if you're a believer and you're trying to do it by yourself and you push God back, you push the Lord back, you even get into some other issues that are tough and hard too. Wow. Then he says this. This is the hard part. He says, take up my yoke and what? Learn from me. That's this. Learn from me. He's calling us to come to him, to cast all of it down. He's going to start working with it, but he says, oh, you need to learn from me on how to do life. How to do life. Every one of us guys who are our father, whether your kids are still in the house or they're adult children, we've all messed up in some way. Amen? We've all messed up in some way. We've tried to do life differently. We've messed up a little bit. We've done this, that. But as believers, we know that we could not even have been the father that we are today without the Lord Jesus Christ. And same thing for the mothers. God has a way. His scripture talks about how to be a parent. His scripture talks about how to do marriage. Scripture talks about how to raise up your children. Scripture talks about a lot of stuff. About a lot about life. God gave us a brain. Gave us a heart. Gave us a living soul. That's what he did. Some of us are smarter than others when it comes to educational things. Some of us are smarter than others. Some of us have more street smarts than others. Some of us can have a master's or a doctor's degree but can't handle going down to Indianapolis scared to death. Don't have street smarts. Some people know more about gardening. Some people know more about cattle. Some people can go out there and blindfold and change engines out of cars. And other people know how to paint. And some people can't even do a stick person. God gives us talents and gifts and minds and all those things to do those things. But when it comes down into the main things and the main core of life, he says this, come to me. You got problems in your marriage? Come to me. You got problems in your finances? Come to me. You got things that are going on with your kids? Come to me. He says, come to me. You know that Jesus can do anything? I mean, absolutely anything. God can do anything. Every person in the world that has cancer, God can immediately just heal them all. And everybody would say, what a great God. Anybody that was, all the blind people in the world, God could say, all blind people, all blindness is gone, never going to mention the word blindness again. And it would be amazing, wouldn't it? All sickness is gone. There will be a time for that. The scripture tells us. But here on earth, it isn't getting all about all those things fixed. But God does still do miracles like that. It's about this. It's a faith thing. It's about coming to Christ with all your heart. It's about coming to Christ with the right motives. It's coming to Christ believing that he is the Son of God. That he is who he says he is. And so many people are just a slave to bondage. A slave to sin. Certain type of bondage, certain type of sin. And we are a slave to that. We can become a slave to that. And Jesus says, come to me. He wants to work with that. You know why people can't break sin? Why people can't break addictions? And you hear it all the time. People say, listen, we can teach all these classes on addictions. It's a very simple equation, really. It's a really simple equation. You drop what you have and you drop what's in your hand and you take the hand of Jesus. Now, people say, oh, it's not that simple. You don't know how strong the addiction is. Let me tell you, you don't know how strong Jesus is. You never met my dad before he got saved. You don't know how strong he is. Look in the mirror and find out how strong Jesus is. You wouldn't be sitting here without Jesus. You wouldn't even be here. I don't mean to be ugly. I'm just saying, good, you wouldn't even be here. Without Jesus Christ, many of us, our marriages wouldn't even be here. Jesus says, there is a way, and it is come to Him. He says, come to me. Listen, we know how to live wrong, don't we? Jesus says, I want to teach you how to live right. Now, this doesn't make you righteously where you're up here and everybody else in the world is down here. And there are Christians that are like that. They shouldn't be like that. But there are many that are like that. But we know how to live wrong. And many of us are learning how to live right. And we learn how to live right because we're letting Jesus take the lead. We're letting Him take the lead. When we're small groups, I can call names out sometimes, right, Jeremy? I can do that. Pam wouldn't be here without Jesus. A lot of patience with Jesus, amen? And we're thankful for that. But we know how to live wrong. But Jesus offers us a way to live right. We are not the first generation to go through this. God's people has been struggling with this for so long. I want to read a couple of scriptures for you out of Isaiah. I don't know if some of you watched the Mandalorian Star Wars piece, but there was a piece in there that said, this is the way. Anybody know that? This is the way, right? The Bible coined that way before Star Wars did. Let's look at it. In Isaiah chapter 30 and verse 21, God is speaking to the people. This is a mercy. The Lord has mercy for Israel. He says this, verse 21 of chapter 30. And whenever you turn to the right or to the left, your ears will hear this command behind you. This is the way. Walk in it. When God's people were out of communication when God's people were out of sync with the Lord, it was always they were doing it their way. When you are not with the Lord, you are doing it your way. When you got a lot of problems in your life, most likely you're doing life your way. There is a side piece called spiritual warfare. There is a side piece of some other things. But we're just basically talking about living our life our way. It doesn't work. Let me tell you, you want to fix a lot of problems, put your attitude right in the front and start sweeping up your doorstep right there. And then your front doorstep is usually where your attitude is. Attitude displays a lot. But he says, whenever you turn to the right or to the left, your ears, and we'll hear this command. Listen, who's speaking? Here it was the Lord. Who's speaking in our life? It is the Holy Spirit, which is God's Spirit, speaks to us. And he says, this is the way. Walk in it. What did Jesus say? Come unto me, all who are weary and heavy burdened, and I will give you rest. He's still saying it just a little bit different. He says, come to me. That's what he says. This is the way. This is the way. I don't care how hard you work it. I don't care how smart you are. I don't care if you're the best con in the world. Your way will never work outside of God. Because it's not. You are not designed to do it your way. You were designed to be a created piece for God's joyful glory. And we screwed it all up and messed it all up and sinned before Him. Yet His love overflows on us and He gave His Son Jesus that we might have a second chance. And we didn't even deserve it, but that's how much He loves us. And He says, this is the way. Follow it. Jesus says, come to me. All Man, just open it up, not just to the Israelites, but to all of us, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Now, some of you are thinking, I have come to Jesus, but I can't get it right. I still have these. Let's just back up for a minute. If you came Wednesday, you might have heard a little bit of it. I didn't preach it, but Phil Fisher preached it, I think. Wasn't it Moses on Wednesday? You preached Moses? Yeah. There's a piece where Moses is coming to the fiery bush, and God is there, and he's coming to God. Doesn't really understand it, but he's coming. God is pulling him. He don't even know it. And that's what happens sometimes, that God is pulling us toward himself, and we don't even realize it. But there comes a place where we get right before God where he says, listen, you have to stop where you are. You have to take off your sandals. This is holy ground. We got to quit asking God to fix our problems. When we become believers, to fix our problems when we still got all the junk in our hands, we're not willing to take off. You have to let it go. And then you realize, I can't let it go on my own. I need Christ to let it go. So you're begging and you're praying to the Lord, and you're saying, I can't let this go. And you feel like God is still 10 feet away, but you're praying, Lord, I still got these problems. Here's the problem. People don't want to fight in that moment. They don't want to wrestle in that moment. That's exactly where God wants a lot of us to be. That's the winning, and that's the defeat and the victory is right there in the midst. People want to go from A to Z without going through B, C, D, E, and F. Wow. He also says in Isaiah chapter 55, there's the part of 55 says, come to the Lord. And so it says here in verse 1, come, everyone who is thirsty, come to the water. And you, without silver, come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without silver and without cost. Then he says in verse 6, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call to him while he is near. Let the wicked one abandon his way. This is all about which way you're going. What direction are you going? What road are you on? He says, let the wicked one abandon his way. He says, if you want to get on my path, you got to get off of your path. You don't have enough legs to walk down two paths. You got to be on one path. Some of you know what it's like to be on the wrong path, and you know what it's like to be on the right path, and you're so thankful. Amen? Come on now. We in the house or not today? Come on now. I know where I would. Come on. You know where you were going down that path, and you know where God had moved you from one path to another path. How many of y'all married up? Come on now. How many of y'all married up? Which means you think, you know what, I should not have married this person. God gave me this person. I should have never even been able to marry this person. He said, let the wicked one abandon his way and the sinful one his thoughts. So we're emptying it. God has given you the power to let it go. God is giving you the power to let go of the junk in your life. I'm telling you, Jesus is more powerful than the devil is. Quit thinking darkness has more power than the light of Christ. He doesn't. He does not have more power than Christ. Christ has all power. And he's given us the power to drop our thoughts, our sinful thoughts. And he says, let him return to the Lord. If you are away from the Lord, it's time to come home. It's time to quit playing around and come home. It's not working. It doesn't work. It doesn't work. It doesn't matter what America does. It doesn't matter what the world does. It's coming up all kinds of ways how to do life. We're already being pushed into schools on how we should be able to live our life, change what we want to do. All these things are every. Listen, there is one way, and the world, filled with darkness, doesn't want to do it the one way. They'll do it every other way, but they won't go down that one way. And that one way is this. It is Jesus Christ. Because Jesus has the light that will radiate right on all the darkness, and people feel that conviction, and they don't want to be around that, so they walk away from Jesus, and they want to live in the mess that they're living in, and they're going to live it in, and they're going to live it till the day they die, unless they come to the anointing, the saving power of Jesus Christ. And we should feel fortunate and blessed that we have received that in our own lives. Because if without Jesus Christ, we would be right there with the rest of them. Lost and separated, living life, doing life our way. And our way doesn't work. But God's way does work. He says, and the sinful one, his thoughts, let him return to the Lord, so he may have compassion on him, and to our God, for he will freely forgive. Yes. God will forgive. And Satan will tell you that he will not forgive. And if you know Satan is the father of lies, then why you keep listening to the lies? You either believe that Jesus is who he says he is, that he will forgive you of your sins, or he won't. If anybody is your fan in life, you may feel like it's your mama or your dad or your grandma and grandpa, and they're your biggest fan and they love you. I'm going to tell you, no one has the biggest fan. Jesus Christ is your biggest fan. But you got to do it his way. Folks, there's so much hate and ugliness in the world today. We don't need it here. So much, as soon as we leave out here, there's so much hate, and ugliness, lies, and deceit, lustful, sinful thinking, and thoughts, and actions that people do. We struggle enough with that stuff. God says there's a way. And even when we mess it up and we blow it, he says there's still a way. You just seek and ask for forgiveness and work through it and work at it. Let him work on you. He says this. Why? Because I think one way. He thinks another. Let's look at verse 8. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, and your ways are not my ways. This is the Lord's declaration. And then he goes and he says this amazing piece. For as heaven is higher than earth, so my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For just as the rain and the snow fall from heaven and do not return there without saturating the earth and making it germinate and sprout, and providing seed to sow, and food to eat. So my word that comes from my mouth will not return to me empty, but it will accomplish what I please, and will prosper in what I send it to do. You know what? God's in charge. When we get a little bit of power, and we're just trying to lead our own life, this one vessel, I am in charge. I have the opportunity, and I have the power to lead this life. Yet I still mess it up. I mess it up, just like you do. But when I put Jesus Christ in the midst of it, and I'm praying to the Father, and I listen to the Holy Spirit, trying to go that way, I'm on that way. You know what? That means when you go in His way, you're on the right way. It is the only way. Can I just tell you, there is only one way to heaven. That's it. There's no enlightenments. There's no seeking more goods and works. There's no tipping the scale of works. It isn't the bloodline that you have. It's only through Jesus Christ that a human being can obtain a relationship with the Father is only through Jesus Christ. And the only way a name gets written in the Lamb's Book of Life is through a relationship with Jesus Christ. That is it. That is it. That is it. I think some people want to come to Jesus but struggle, because they're still holding on They can't let go. They can't take charge. They can't get rid of it. They can't get rid of what they need to get rid of. Jesus, come to me and he'll deal with those things. So if there is a great path set in front, why do we not want to go down that path? I think some people still need to come to Jesus. And I think some people, which are Christians, need to return to Jesus. That means your relationship isn't where it needs to be. It's not where you know it. You know, a Christian knows when their relationship isn't right with God. How do they know that? Because they know. Because they have the Holy Spirit. And they know. The Holy Spirit confirms, you ain't right. It ain't right. You ain't right. And you can live with that stuff for years. It ain't right. You ain't right. But you keep suppressing it. You know what you are? You're a rebellious child. Still a child, but you're rebellious. You know what the Bible says about rebellious? It is almost the act of like witchcraft. God doesn't like it. God has plans for you. Jeremiah 29:11 says, God has plans for you. God wants to work through you. God wants to use you. But when you're acting like that and you're not in the way, you're not acting, you're not being right, your relationship is not right with it, you're kind of put on a shelf. You're still a child, but you're a rebellious child. The only way to get it right, the only way to get anything right in our life is to talk to Jesus about it. Who has the power to forgive, let it go, and to restore. Some of our relationship, that are here today, our relationships needs to be restored. It needs to strengthen with Christ. It needs to step it up. We need to come home. And the home isn't just here in the building. The home is here. If this ain't right, none of it's right. Jesus says, come unto me. Anyone, everyone. Come unto me. All who are weary. Heavy laden, heavy burden. He says, I'll give you rest. God's not doing it to be mean. Jesus isn't doing it to be mean. The Holy Spirit's not doing it grudgingly. They're doing it because they know us better than ourselves. They know what we need. The Lord knows that man cannot live life right without him. Jesus says, I have come to give life more abundantly. But the previous scripture says that Satan comes, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. There's two paths. Satan will never tell you the end of the path. Because he don't want you to know the end of the path. He wants you to enjoy whatever it is. He wants you in the moment. He'll reap off and he'll cling off your emotions and your thoughts. The Lord is about everything. Your soul, your spirit, your mind, and your heart. Everything that you are. Satan just picks the spots. And Jesus says, I have come to give you life more abundantly. I can't do life without Jesus. I cannot even do today, the rest of the day without him. I can't do the rest of the day without him, and I've learned that I don't want to do the rest of the day without him. There's things coming up next week that I can't do things without him, and I don't want to do things without him. But I also know there comes moments in my thought patterns where there's something over here that looks very whatever it is. And you know what? The Holy Spirit is so awesome when you are trying to live right. You're doing it. You're on his track. You're on his path. You're doing it his way. You know what? The warning sounds are really loud. The Holy Spirit is very, very clear. Don't do that. Stay away from that. Stay away from that person. Don't do that. Remember, we talked about that. Push forward. Oh, put your eyes straight in front of you. This is the direction. Don't go down that road. You may feel it's right, but don't go down that road. It's very clear. It's very clear. The more you are walking with the Lord, I'm telling you, the more you are sensitive to the Holy Spirit. That is just, I'm just telling you. The more you drift away from the Lord, the more you will lean on your emotions. It's a fact. The more you will listen to other voices, and then you begin to where you can't discern which is the Holy Spirit, which is not. What does that mean? You're confused. You're being led away. What does the Lord want? Come to Jesus. Come back to Jesus. When you get it right with Jesus, you can hear His voice again. You begin to go on the straight path. You begin to work it back. You're nudging. He's pulling you back. It's not from here to here. There are those miracle times when they happen, but it's usually a working piece. It's a working piece because God's going to use some things in there to give you a lesson. But when He opens it up right out the gate, He says, "Come unto Me, everyone." We're all bringing different burdens. We're all bringing different things in our lives, and God can handle every one of them. You're not the first person to go through the stuff you're going through. So my question for you today is this: what way are you going? God says, "This is the way." And Jesus says, "Come unto Me." It's all the same. Just spoke to certain people a different way, but the message was still the same. Come to God. Return to God. If you have a relationship, it's time to come home spiritually. It's time to come home. Let's stand. I want to give you an opportunity because I think right now it's just really, I don't need to keep on preaching. I just need to